Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace be with you. Hope you had a restful night. And today we continue our reflections. From the letter of Saint Paul to the Colossians. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. So verses 14 and 15 from chapter 3. So this morning I would like ourselves to imagine that we have a task, a possibly unusual task. And we are asked to place side by side the following animals: a chicken, an owl, an ant, a donkey, a lamb, and a lion. Some of you are looking at me and sort of in a strange way, and you might be saying, this is a strange way how to start off our Sunday today. And you might be reasoning, this is not possible. They're just going to gobble each other up, they're going to peck at each other, they're going to run away, they're going to kick, to bite, whatever. Yes, that's true. Provided that we don't do something to allow them to stay together. And possibly the answer might be that we'll make sure that all these different animals are very, very tasty. In a way that, because they're very tasty, they will all be next to each other, drinking and disregarding the differences that are between them. Now I know that this is not following the biological rules of predators and prey, but at any rate, it's something that is there to start us off. Why? Because if we consider these animals as being so different, and they are so different in a way that they cannot really exist together without eating each other or fighting each other or whatever. Well, these animals are really, in a particular way, reflecting ourselves. Because just like these animals are so different, we are so different. We have our different characters. We have our different personalities. Some of us might have the personality of a lion. Everybody has to stand to attention because he literally roars when he speaks. The aggressive type. But you know that a lion also sleeps a lot, about 14 hours a day. So it could be an aggressive but lazy person. Stop looking at each other. I'm not referring to anybody. I know this in Malta, so I don't know. What about the chicken? Well, if you tell somebody you have the brain of a chicken, well, that is really an insult, true? So it's a person who maybe does not think deeply. The chicken goes around pecking, okay, trying to grab something or grain or whatever from the soil. Roaming around, maybe somewhat confused, never really settling in, never concentrating a lot, an absent-minded person. But the chick clacks loudly when it lays an egg. So this person, if he does or she does something, well, everybody has to know that what he has done. What about the donkey? Strong, sturdy, possibly reliable, but also obstinate. And whenever he says something, whenever he speaks, nobody really pays any attention. In Maltese, there is a saying that, when translated, says, a donkey's bray never made it to heavens, to the heavens, no? What about the owl? So this is the wise one in the group now. This is the one, and we seek his opinion. We go and ask him. But the owl is also a hunter, so there is a bit of aggressiveness there. And the owl is nocturnal. In other words, when most of the other animals are asleep, the owl is hunting. When most of the other animals are active, the owl is asleep. So this is the person who's possibly also the one who is very comfortable leading a solitary life. The ant, the busy person, the industrious person, the laborer, the one who goes in for large projects. An ant can pull or push seeds which are much heavier than itself. So this is the guy who goes in for the large projects and doesn't give up when everybody's saying, oh, how can we do this? But the ant is also represents the hoarder. Okay. Always saving bits and pieces for the possible rainy day. And however, unlike for ants, for some of us, the rainy day never comes. So we just end up with piles of things that we do not need. And the lamb, the quiet animal, the gentle animal, the meek animal, frolics around, but possibly also in a childish way. So, when we look at ourselves and see how different we are, we do think, how are we together? We're not like a group of people in an aeroplane, a group of people in a bus or in a train. Because we live together. And some of us are quiet. Some of us are noisy. Some of us are introverts. And the constant being with people makes us tired. Some of us are extroverts, so being with people that energizes us, gives us more energy. Some of us are impulsive. Others have to think and ponder and think and ponder. So some take decisions very quickly. Others don't take decisions very quickly. Some are very nervous. Some are calm. Some are sharp and attentive, others are absent-minded, distracted easily. What a motley crew we are. So the big question is, how on earth have we managed to stay together? How do we manage to stay together? We have buried nobody, and we don't go to visit anybody of us in prison, because we killed each other. The answer is one. Christ. He is the water that keeps us together. And this was the question that Pope Francis wrote and we have read in the letter to the consecrated. Is Jesus really our first and only love, as we promised he would be when, obviously, the Pope wrote, when we professed our vows. We did not profess our vows, but when we were incorporated. Because only if he, the Pope continues, because only if he is, will we be empowered to love, in truth and mercy, every person who crosses our path. For we will have learned from Jesus the meaning and practice of love. We will be able to love because we have his own heart. And we have been praying for this every first Friday of the month since we joined the assignment group, when in the mentions we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, may make our hearts resemble your heart. So this is not a new concept for us. And this is the powerful imagery also that the prophet Isaiah writes of in chapter 11 when he speaks about the new order that the Messiah will bring. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. This helps us to realize that we cannot take community for granted. Community life is a gift. It is a gift of the Lord. Just like we pray in the adoration to our God, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, he watches in vain that keeps it. So community is a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. It is the life of God that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is where the origin of community arises. And this is what gathers us together as a family in the Lord's name. This idea is taken from a particular document published about 20 years ago called Fraternal Life in Community. If we read further in this document, says, from the gift of community, of communion, arises the duty to build fraternity. In other words, to become brothers in a given community where all are called to live together. And the Pope, as you know, has called upon us to become experts in communion. How shall we go about it? Let us consider one particular community, that of the apostles, in the beginning of the church. Because they wrote about it. And if we read the letters, we get important hints how we can do this. So, for example, St. Paul to the Romans, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. In the same letter, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, and instruct one another. If there's a particularly strong point in our communities in the SDC, is this. When we gather together during the assignment, but we don't just instruct each other during the assignment. We're constantly sharing, discussing, and helping each other to learn. St. Paul writes in the first letter to the Corinthians, wait for one another. It's not just physical waiting. Because I'm waiting for my friend because he walks more slowly. He cannot walk so fast. But do we wait for each other spiritually? Or aren't we patient with each other? Because I can appreciate this prayer, yet my fellow brother still has to discover it. The letter to the Galatians, through love, be servants of one another. Let us remember the image of Christ washing the feet of the disciples during the Last Supper. First letter to the Thessalonians, encourage one another. Come on, you can do it. Yes. Don't give up. Don't say no. Give this a try. If you're being asked to become a leader, if you're being asked to take up a sacramental class. The letter to the Ephesians, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive one another. Now that's a strong point for us, because you know that how important meekness is for us. It's also a very difficult thing to do, as we know. From the same letter, be subject to one another, out of reverence for Christ. James writes, pray for one another. Do we pray for one another? And do I pray not for my fellow members, but do I pray for Joe, for Peter, for John, for the rest? Peter, in his first letter, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. And St. Paul asks us, or encourages us, let us not grow weary in well-doing. All these are so important for us. And I think we can also see this in our rule when we have the rules relating to loving one another with great charity. Rule 44 in the Constitution. When a member offends in any way a fellow member, he should ask forgiveness. And as a sign of true love, both should offer each other the sign of peace. In the general directory, the SDC members greet each other with the evangelical salutation, peace be with you, with the response, on and also with you. Number 43. Members are to care for each other in their needs and give all possible help, especially to those undergoing uphill struggles and to the elderly ones. Forty-five. Members are to be charitable and courteous when talking about other members and about internal matters of the society. One is to avoid useless words and prudently keep quiet. When necessary, they ought to speak to who is responsible. So, we know where we want to be. Yet, we also know that we cannot be blind to the fact that every Christian reality is built on human frailty. And the perfect ideal community doesn't exist. And the Pope also highlights these the pitfalls and difficulties that can have negative effects and can be like woodworm in our communities. Criticism, gossip, envy, jealousy, hostility. These are all possible difficulties that we encounter. Sometimes we can be at the receiving end, but sometimes we are the ones who would actually be perpetuating this. Gossip. It has done so much damage. A couple of experiences, sad experiences, I'm afraid, which I know of in Malta. So, these people start gossiping. That guy is going to be chosen as a superior. That guy is going to be chosen as a superior. Suddenly, everybody knows that this guy is going to be chosen as a superior. And somebody goes to tell him. When there was never any intention that he is going to be chosen. How can that happen? That affects discernment. The discernment of the superiors, the discernment of that particular man. Harsh criticism. You know that there is negative criticism and positive criticism. There are different ways how to criticize. And this can be sometimes overbearing, especially for the superiors, for the leaders, especially for the branch leaders. What about jealousy? Am I jealous because I see another member who has different talents? The pitfall is that I start believing that I have no talents at all and the other guy has all the talents, okay, or at least has the talents that I would like to have though. And how does that then start affecting my relationship with him? Or when I start seeing, I start believing that that particular member has a better relationship or can build better relationships with the children, with the young people than I am. These are all difficulties that we can feel. And what about hostility? Well, maybe this is a little bit less pronounced in our communities because obviously we have constantly been paying attention to meekness. But What about the passive-aggressive hostile nature that we can adopt? And yes, unfortunately, we sometimes do have members who say, no, I won't work with that other person. I can't go to the center. These are realities that even our SDC communities are prone to. They exist. So what do we do? Do we give up? If I am in such a situation, if I am in such a community, what do I do? To be experts, to be true experts in communion, we must be aware that our communities give us time for constant building. It is always possible to improve. We can never say we are the ideal community, as we said. We can never say we are perfect. There's always room for improvement. It's always time that we walk together towards a community that is able to live in forgiveness and love. We cannot avoid conflicts. Just like in a family, sometime or other, a conflict will arise. So the unity between us, the unity amongst us, should be built not on the absence of conflict, but it's established at the price of reconciliation. Imperfection should not discourage us. If we read the story of a soul by St. Teresa of the Infant Jesus, it does give us a glimpse of the challenges this saint lived in the cloistered community in Lisieux. So, the first thing, or the first instance, these nuns are washing the clothes in the wash pool. And this particular nun is happily washing her handkerchief, splashing hot, dirty water onto Therese's face. And you know that Therese was a very, very delicate young woman. And she writes that this splashing was not once or twice, but it was basically continuous. The other nun was possibly in a very good mood, splashing around. And Therese was basically on the verge of throwing one of her best tantrums, just like she did when she was a very young girl. But she writes that she said absolutely nothing. Christ helped her to accept this lack of consideration of her fellow sister. The other instance was when she offered to help Sister Saint Pierre. Sister Saint Pierre was a very old nun, and basically this nun refused her old age to limit, to keep her from her activities in the convent. So Therese tried to help her along in the corridor. And this nun started grumbling, "You're moving too fast." So obviously, Therese slowed down. When Therese slowed down, Sister Saint Pierre said, "Come on, sister, I don't feel your hand. You have let go of me, and I'm going to fall." You can imagine what was going on in Therese's heart. Anyway, somehow, sometimes going fast, sometimes going slow, they managed to reach the end of the corridor, and Sister Saint Pierre then declared, "I was right when I said you were too young to help me." And Therese says she just bit her tongue and managed to smile. Teresa also had challenges during prayer time. So they were, the nuns were gathered for quiet prayer. And this nun was making strange clanking noises. Therese doesn't specify what these were. Possibly it were the rosary beads or an ill-fitting denture. We don't know. We have to extrapolate. But this sound really got to Therese. And she says she was really sweating in frustration. And she tried to shut her ears, but that was unsuccessful. But then, this saint is really, really sweet. So she puts into practice her little way. And so she starts turning these noises into a concert, okay, and offers them to Jesus. But she was really frustrated, and in her journal she wrote, "I assure you, that was no prayer in quiet." So, basically, we can easily say, "Oh, but that was St. Therese, and I'm definitely not here. I'm neither a saint and nor a doctor of the church." How can we manage when we have these situations? When we always are gathered and we always have the same person coming late for the assignment or for an appointment. We always have the same person who's sleeping. We always have the same person who's absent-minded and asking us, "What is the time of midnight mass?" These things don't just happen in Australia, believe me. Okay? I can't tell you how many members were asking me whether I was going to USA or coming here, or some members sending me emails asking to meet me or something like that when we had announced that I wasn't going to be in my office in Malta. So, it's nothing new there. How do we manage? How do we have to manage? The love of Christ poured out in our hearts urges us to love our brothers and sisters, even to the point of taking on their weaknesses, their problems, and their difficulties. That is, even to the point of giving our own selves. This is the idea, that we pray, "Let make our hearts like yours." We have to adopt the same, have to have the same spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in order to answer to the Pope's wish to be experts in communion, to have a concrete model of community, we have to acknowledge the dignity of each one of us. And we have to show, to share our respective gifts. And this is what the resolution in Oasis to Quench Thirst, that quenches thirst, highlights when the resolutions speak, when we read the particular virtues that each one of us should have so that we have healthy SDC communities. Meekness, humility, joy, peace, faith. A deep sense of compassion and love for each other. Especially for those of us who are burdened. And who isn't carrying a burden of some sort or another. It's important for us to know that there are two basic certainties that Christ has given us and continues to give us. First of all, we're certain that we are infinitely loved. The founder used to ask, what is God doing right now? God is loving. Maybe we can stop and reflect on what is God doing now? God is loving me now. And God's love is infinite. And there's also the certainty that we are capable of loving without limits as well. Yet, sometimes, yes, we do get tired of loving each other. Yet, we do have that ability. Saint Basil teaches us that we are born with the ability to love. And through the grace of God, this ability grows and becomes more perfect. And we should never, ever give up on that. So that like trees of the infant Jesus, we can, like her, enthusiastically say, my vocation is love. For those of us who would like a couple of suggestions for personal reflection time, if you would like to reflect on the excerpt from the prophet Isaiah, the part that I read, it's in chapter 11. You can actually read from verse 1 to 9, but the verses that I quoted were from 6 to 9. Another quote, well, it's the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Well, that's all about love and the qualities of love. And then the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, there's verses 1 to 20, that's when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And then there's also verses in the same chapter, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, where Jesus gives the new commandment.